Thank you, choir. Oh, hallelujah. What a reason to rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. So thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, we have correlated our series, Knowing the Names, or Knowing God Through His Names, to Knowing Jesus Through His Names. We've correlated that with this service. And today we're going to talk about most precious name. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? Verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Won't you say it with me, Jesus? Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why is he going to be called that? For he shall save his people from their sins. And then verse 25. Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth, note here, not their firstborn, but brought forth her firstborn son. And when we get there, would you say it with me? And he called his name Jesus. We're going to preach today, this morning, on just that name, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Amen. New life, new hope. New joy he brings. Amen. Why don't you lift your hand? Let's just rejoice as we pray over this message. Let's just rejoice. Could you thank him? Thank you for salvation. Oh, Father God, thank you that you always take the initiative. Lord, you come seeking for us. You came into our mess. You gave your life. You suffered. You rose again that we could have eternal life. Lord, move in this place to the preaching of your word. May there be a growing awareness of your presence. And I pray before this service is concluded, Lord, that somebody will find that new life in their hearts, in their innermost being today. Anoint me to speak your word in Christ's name. Everybody said, amen. You could be seated this morning. Years ago, when I was yet in Bible school, it was springtime, happened to be in the St. Louis area, and several of us young men went down by the arch along the Mississippi River to hand out tracts and to talk to folks about the Lord. And there on the sidewalk, there underneath the arch, I was handing out tracts, and there was quite a group of people that began to gather. And I saw, as I was talking, I saw this old drunk coming up. He came up to the circumference there of the circle, and he began to look to see what was going on. He listened to me a little bit, and I'm watching him trying to talk. And all of a sudden, he spoke up real loud. He said, hey, he's trying to tell you guys about Jesus. You want to know about Jesus? I'll show you Jesus. And he lifted up that old whiskey bottle wrapped in that brown paper sack. He held it way up. He said, look, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Now, I've told that before. You might even remember my telling it, but I've told that to speak of the man's blasphemy. But always when I've told it, something's been bugging me in the back of my mind and heart. And this week, it finally came out. I've missed it. I missed what was going on. He wasn't just being blasphemous when he held up that whiskey bottle and said, this is Jesus. He was making a declaration. He was saying, I've chosen this to be my Jesus. I've chosen this to be my Savior. I don't know what kind of pain or sin or wrongdoing I don't know what it was, what kind of guilt he was trying to drown out. But he had chosen the bottle to try to save him from that, to numb the pain, to help him to forget. And so he said, "This is my Jesus." He's not alone. I believe people everywhere, though they may deny it, I think people deep down know they need saving. What do you think? I think people know they need saving. They know they're in something they cannot get themselves out of. You could describe it in different ways: emptiness, purposelessness, discouragement, despair, guilt, addictions, demons, darkness. But just like the drunk, they've chosen something to be their Jesus. Some have chosen drugs. Some have chosen drink. Some have chosen pornography. Some have chosen illicit relationships. Some have chosen even themselves. That's what an atheist does. He says there's no God. He says, "I'll be my own savior." Some have chosen education. Amen. They're choosing things to be their Jesus, to be their savior. But could I say this morning, whomever and whatever you choose to be your savior besides the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot, he cannot, they will not save you. The only savior is the one we're celebrating this morning. The only real savior is the one whose very name means savior, and that one is Jesus. He is the savior. Oh, I said hallelujah. The only true savior is the one conceived in Mary's womb and born in a manger. He's the only true Jesus. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. That old drunk, he quieted down the crowd, and those young men, they had been, you know, talking vile, and they were out partying and stuff. But one of them, after the moment of quietness, one of those young men spoke up. I didn't have a chance to answer. One of those young men spoke up and said, "Listen, that might be Jesus in your book, but," he said, "that's not Jesus in my book." Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know the Jesus of the book? You know the true Jesus. You know the true Savior. You know the true Lord. We're celebrating him in this Christmas time. And it says here, this baby shall be called, say it with me, that's the true one. There's around 200 names given for our Savior in Scripture. But of those 200 names and titles, the dearest name we have for our Savior is his proper name. His name, Jesus. Paul said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above all names." Hallelujah. Out of all the names you might know, the name above all names is Jesus. Out of all the names in history, the name above all names is Jesus. Of all the religious leaders, the name above all names is in heaven and earth, the greatest name is in all time, the greatest name is every time you say Jesus, that two syllable words, amen, you are speaking a name that is two words put together. The Jah, if you've ever thought about it, the Jah, it stands for Jehovah, and the Sus stands is the word for help. And so every time you speak the name Jesus, you are saying God helps. God helps. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah, our help. Jehovah, our salvation. Jehovah, our rescuer. Come on, folks. Jehovah, our deliverer. It's a name above all names. Jesus means that our God is our help and our Savior. Amen. You may think, "Well, wait a minute. Is that really his name? I've heard some other things." Well, if you go to the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, they pronounced his name Jeshua or Yeshua. Or in your Bibles, you will read it Joshua. Joshua. Amen. That was the Old Testament general. Amen. That defeated the enemies of Israel and took the children of Israel across Jordan River into the very promised land. Joshua, he was a deliverer. He delivered them from their enemies. Amen. Amen. What is Jesus? That's the English. What was it written in your Bibles originally? Jesus. Amen. What is it in Spanish? Jesus. And that's the extent of what I can tell you. But I'm telling you, whatever tongue you pronounce it in, whatever language that you use, Hebrew or Greek or Spanish or Korean or Chinese, every time you speak his name, Jesus, you are proclaiming that he is the rescuer. He is the Savior. He is the deliverer. Oh, hallelujah. Name above all names, the name of Jesus. His name says it all. Amen. Not long after he had ascended, the apostles hit the street preaching. The officials didn't like it. They took them into custody. They warned them and said, we don't want you preaching in that name. We don't like that name. We don't want to hear that name. Don't preach in it. Amen. They let him out of prison, and as soon as the jail door clicked closed behind him, the apostles hit the streets again. And you know what they preached? They preached Jesus. Why? Peter tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad you've heard it? Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? No other name but Jesus. In that name of Jesus, I hear the plea. I hear the plea. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, you see, a Savior is someone who answers somebody's call for help. That's what a Savior is. They've heard a cry for help. They've responded and rescued someone. If there is a Savior, there must have been somebody crying out for help. And so when I hear the name of Jesus, I think of the pleas of people everywhere crying out for help. It's that way with us. When we're in trouble, it can even be in the house. But when we're in trouble, we cry out, help. The sus of Jesus. We cry out, help. Jesus means God helps. But I believe at first it was spoken as a plea. God, help. God, help. It might be an 8-year-old little boy. Once again, he wakes up in the darkness of the night to hear mom and dad fighting again. Vicious. That little boy lying there afraid in his bed because he's ridden a bus to school, to church, and heard the name. He doesn't know anything else to do. And so he begins to cry out, Jesus. Jesus. Might be a young adult man falling into pornography, so tired of the bondage and the guilt and in the shame. He kneels down beside his bed and he cries out, Jesus. It might be a young wife. She's been betrayed by her husband. She doesn't know she can live with the pain. But then she finds herself out crying, Jesus. Jesus. It might be an elderly widow who is so lonely she cannot bear another hour. She doesn't think she can go on in that loneliness. And there in her living room, sitting there in the chair, she begins to cry out, Jesus, are you there? Are you in a crisis? Are you in a predicament? Are you in a mess? Are you in a hurtful place? Are you going down for the last time? Are you at the end of your rope? Have you come to the end of your resources? You don't know what to do. Amen. I want to encourage you. Cry out, God, help. And I'm telling you, let me tell you how you can cry out, God, help. Just speak his name. Because when you say Jesus, you're saying, God, help. And somewhere along the line, the plea is going to change to a declaration. The plea is, God help. But pretty soon it's going to be a declaration. God helps. God delivers. God saves. And it's all tied up in the name of Jesus. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Jesus. I said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor person cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. I said, it's all tied up in the name of Jesus, God, our salvation, our help. One of our homegrown philosophers, Thoreau, said, most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. They live lives of quiet desperation. I understand that to a point, but I think if we'll really listen, they are desperate, but they're not really quiet. If we'll really listen, they're crying out for help. They need to hear the name Jesus. God helps. Aren't you glad to know it this morning? Somebody here needs to know it. Jesus, God helps. He'll help you this morning. Secondly, in his name, I hear the problem. We're told in the text I read that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A Savior is a Savior because he saves somebody from something. I know you like it when I get real deep like that. But a Savior is a Savior because he saves somebody from something. A car crash, a burning house, deep water, a murderous attacker. Jesus is the Savior because he saves us from something. And the Scripture specifies he saves us from our sins. That reveals the problem. Our greatest problem, our greatest need is not poverty. It is not ignorance. It's not poor health. It's not danger from our environment. Our greatest trouble is not even terrorism. Our greatest problem is sin. Hallelujah. You see, if people would only admit it, we'd know our hearts aren't right. We know things are amiss. There's things we don't want anybody to hear about, know about. There's thoughts that we've had we hope would never, ever show up on the wall with our name after them. Right? If only we would admit it. I know we live in a time when, you know, they want to tell us our every problem is just a lack of money. Think about it. That's the political solution to every problem, more money. Money's not going to save anybody. You may think it will, but it won't. They say, oh, what we need to do, we just need to be more educated. No, because none of those things address the real problem. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Jesus came to save us from our sins. We have a weakness to sin. Sin has a power over us. We live with consequences of sin. And however much the psychologist would try to convince us it's not real, we live with the guilt of sin. And one day, every person that is unsaved will face the penalty of sin. Sin is something to be saved from. Hallelujah. And so the Scripture's clear. Jesus didn't come to save us from poverty. And I know he helps with that. Jesus didn't come to save us from ignorance. Jesus didn't come to save us from poor health. In other words, let me put it another way. Jesus didn't come to make us rich. Jesus didn't come to give us a new car. Jesus didn't come to give us a high better than drugs. Jesus didn't come just to make us a success in the eyes of the world. He came to save us from our sins. That's our biggest problem, and we're helpless in light of our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why he's the Savior. He came as a babe to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to rid us of our sins. Aren't you thankful for it? How many can lift a hand and say, I have no sin because I've been washed in the blood? He is Jesus. He is the Savior. In his name, I hear the provision. And I've just got ahead of myself in this. But when Jesus means God saves, it doesn't just mean he found a way to save us. It means he became the way to save us. How does he save? By giving himself in our place, to die in our place. He wasn't born just so we could marvel at this great thing, how a virgin conceived. He was born so he could become a human and have a human body that could be beat and be nailed to a cross to take our place, dying in our place. I mentioned what people could be saved from a while back in the message, but you know, a Savior dives into the water for someone that's drowning. A Savior enters a burning house to save somebody from burning. A Savior does all of those things. But there's a difference. Jesus not only dove into the water, he drowned. Jesus not only entered the burning house, he perished in the flame. He died to save us. It's one thing for somebody to save you. It's another thing for them to die saving you. You know, there's the heroic story we hear in the context of the military where an enemy grenade is thrown into a bunch of soldiers. And one of the soldiers, thinking that quickly, throws himself on that live grenade, taking the full impact to save his buddies around him. He throws himself on the grenade. I want to tell you, Jesus threw himself on our cross, took the full impact of the consequences of our sin. He died saving us. In his name, I hear the power. You do too. Just speak his name, you hear the power. Jesus, the God who saves. The God who, you know I speak too simplistic. But when I told you the definition of Jesus, what it was, I didn't tell you that the definition of Jesus is the God who tries to save. Or the God who attempts to save. No. Without qualification, the name of Jesus is the God who saves. There's power in his name. There's no trying. There's no attempt to it. In all of human history, Jesus has never failed to save someone who sincerely called upon him. I want you to think about that. Not one out of millions who have cried out the name of Jesus in their distress, Jesus has never, ever failed to save just one. Never. Power. I was in the service when one of my good friends fell over on the platform, was supposed to preach that night. Another close friend was one of the first to respond and was doing CPR. After it was seen, it was too late. After the paramedics came and it was seen too late, my friend that was doing CPR went out the side door. I went out of the building around to meet him. He's broken down in sobs. I got him close, and all he kept saying was, I did my best. I tried to save him, and I couldn't. I tried to save him, and I couldn't. I'm going to tell you, that's a sad story. But God not one time has had to bow his head and said, I tried to save him, and I couldn't. I tried to rescue him, and I couldn't. If that's a person who has sincerely cried out, Jesus, Jesus, he saved him. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about the power in his name. He saved him. Hallelujah. No attempt there. He did it. It makes me think of what the prophet Jeremiah said. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Oh, don't you like that? Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. He doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't do it a little bit. He doesn't just put in a good try. He'll save you. Oh, I said he'll save you. Do you hear it this morning? The prophet Isaiah said, who is this that cometh mighty to save? I want to preach it in the midst of our world when people's lives are so snarled up, so trapped, such a mess. I want to declare it. He is mighty to save. The writer of Hebrews said, we have an intercessor who is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. And how do they come to God? They come to God of crying. Jesus, Jesus, He is able to save to the uttermost. I want you to think of a person in your life that is the most hopelessly lost. I mean, everything about their life is in a mess. Everything about their mind's in a mess. Amen. Their attitude is completely wrong. And you can think of them and think, certainly they'll never be saved. I'll tell you one thing about that individual you're thinking about. If in sincerity of heart and a repentant heart, they would cry out, Jesus, I'll tell you, they would be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus. How remembers the time you knelt and you called out to Jesus, forgive me. Did He forgive you? Jesus, save me. Did He save you? Jesus, bring me out. Did He bring you out? There's power in the name of Jesus. In His name, I also hear the promise. Oh, hallelujah. I got to move on. But I said, there's power in His name. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. This is not an outmoded message. This is not being stuck in the past, stuck back in time. This message is as pertinent and applicable and relevant today, December 20th, 2015. It's important for this congregation. And so I'll declare it one more time. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Anyone here been saved from your sins? Would you lift a hand and worship Him? Hallelujah. I worship You, Jesus. I've been saved from my sins. I hear in His name the promise. This thing makes me cringe when I hear it. People are trying to act wise and philosophizing. I could never serve a God who would send people to hell. What kind of God is that? News commentators, different professors from different universities, expostulating on some television program, some radio program. What kind of God is that sends people to hell? I could never serve a God. I cringe when I hear it, not only from the ignorance and the nonsense of it, but I cringe because the good news is this. God at great cost. I said God at great cost has done everything possible so that nobody has to go to hell. He gave His Son to die. So don't look at me and say, oh, I couldn't serve a God that sent people to hell. Because I'm going to tell you, well, why don't you serve a God that sent His Son to die in your place so you don't have to go to hell? Isn't He a great Savior? Oh, come on. Isn't He a great Savior? We have heard the joyful sound. I know I just quoted that. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Oh, what a promise. I don't care how bleak and dark the world looks. There is a promise that God will save all who call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to think of the options. God could have abandoned us to the consequences of our sin and let us continue to wallow in the misery, in languish, in the destruction of our choices. God could have went further. He could have obliterated us, made us disappear in fiery smoke and been justified to do it. Even God could have just let us go on our way to hell. Never stop us. Do not pass go. No chance to proceed to heaven. He could have just let us go on. But instead of taking any of those options, He promised to save us through the name of Jesus. That's why I love to declare what Peter declared in the first great message of the church. He declared the Old Testament prophet Joel. And he said, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. Aren't you glad the promises of God are whosoever? I said there, whosoever. And as the old hymn said, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, hallelujah. Whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Do you hear the promise in it?
Amen. Save today, save tomorrow, save for all eternity. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall. We don't need new therapy. We don't need new philosophy. We don't need another program that costs money. We need to call on the name of Jesus. Would you come, music? Jesus, God is our salvation. I'm going to be truthful, share a little bit of workshop sawdust here. But I wanted just the right illustration to close this message. I looked and looked in a newspaper here and there. Get real desperate. I look on Drudge Report. I wanted something real applicable, real relevant, real contemporary, an illustration to give an appeal to this altar. And I kept coming up with a blank. Instead, I kept thinking of when Jesus walked this earth. And I think the greatest example of what I've preached about the name of Jesus is old blind man Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging. But when he heard Jesus was coming to town, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shh. You're interrupting a Christmas celebration worship, sir. Shh. If you get involved praying, it'd be longer before we can get back to the chicken. Shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. What'd he do, Brother Cruz? Oh, I'm sorry. No, sir. He cried out the louder. Jesus, thou son of David. How many's ever sat beside Bartimaeus and cried out with him? Have you ever done that a little bit? Come on, let me see your hand. Come on, we're having church here. How many's ever sat right beside blind Bartimaeus? You see, I was never blind. Oh, yes, you were. The God of this world had blinded your heart and mind. I was never poor. Oh, yes, you were. You had none of the riches or the blessings of the goodness and the grace and the mercy. Amen. He cried out the more, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, thou son of David, have mercy. Amen. Maybe someone would like to join. Maybe the church would like to join blind Bartimaeus right now. Won't you just join blind Bartimaeus? Would you? Come on, let me hear you. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Cried out again and again. And you know what? And Jesus walked on by. No, sir. Jesus said, well, you know, I've helped other people with different things, but that case is too hard. Blind, like, is that right? Come on now. What does the scripture say? And Jesus stood still. He responds when he hears his name. Oh, just like here in a few minutes, if you was walking across the parking lot and you heard somebody with distress in their tone cry out your name, you'd throw on the brakes. Oh, hallelujah. The difference is you may not be able to help, but Jesus always can. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's join blind Bartimaeus again. Can we do that? Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. What would you have for me to do? Oh Lord, that I might receive my sight. I can do that. Receive your sight. I see, I see, I see. And Jesus said, that's my name. God helps. He opens the blinded eyes. He makes the lame to walk. He breaks off the bondages of sin. He brings light into the darkest heart. He brings joy where there's no joy, hope where there's no hope, peace where there's no peace. His name is Jesus. If you can, I want you to stand right now. And if you can mean it, knowing that his name means God saves, I want you to lift your hands and just speak his name. Could you do it? Go ahead, speak his name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise him. La 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My ear is still open. I'm still listening even this day to hear those that would call out to me. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when I hear any heart, any person call out to me, speak my name, I'm listening. I'll not ignore. I'll not deny. My ears are open to the cry. If you will cry, I will answer, and I will save, and I will deliver, and I will set free, and I will turn your darkness to light, and I will bring you out of despair and discouragement and hopelessness. My name today is Jesus. I am the same yesterday, today, today, and forever, mighty to save and to save you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him. The Holy Spirit speaking to hearts. Glory to God. Jesus. Amen. I'm fixing to open these altars. But church, could you just say Jesus? Maybe you're saying it with appreciation. Maybe you're saying it with desperation. It doesn't matter if it's a plea, God help. Or if it's a declaration, God helps. His name is Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God, do something eternal in this place. I'm going to open these altars. Perhaps you're a visitor, but we use these steps up here as a place to kneel. And you're here. You might have just thought your situation is hopeless. Maybe it appears so. But I want you to know you can come and call on His name. Come and call on His name. Amen. Are you here? You just feel a need in your heart. Amen. Maybe you're not without Christ. Maybe you have Christ in your life. Oh, but you're up against something. Oh, you recognize you need divine intervention and help. Amen. I want to invite you right now. These altars are open. Anybody that just wants to come and to speak as a plea, Jesus, I want you to come. Would you come? I want to tell you here, I hate hearing it. It's not true for anyone to say, I can't be saved. No, sir. No, sir. He came to save. He don't halfway save. He doesn't partially save. Amen. No one's asking you to divulge what your need is. Amen. I know there are consequences and scars that we live in, we live with, but I'm going to tell you, He can save you so that you are free. Your spirit is free. Your mind is free. You got hope. Hallelujah. Are there others? Hallelujah. Amen. Look at these men that have come. Could other of you men, brothers, come and pray for these men that have come? Would you come and pray with them? Amen. Hallelujah. Are there others in the house? I'm reaching. God's talking to you. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need a Savior. You need a rescuer. Amen. It's just like you are in water over your head and you've been going down for the last time. Jesus will save you. It's just like you're in a house that's been about to be consumed with flame. He'll save you. That's the inside condition of your heart. You're lost. You need Jesus. Would you come? Are there others that like to come? Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers, for praying for these. Are there others you'd like to come this morning? I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want as many as would come. Amen. Maybe you want to come and just give thanks. Amen. You just want to come and give thanks. Maybe you want to come and just to declare it again, afresh and anew. Come ahead, church. Fill these altars. And as the church is coming, perhaps there's others you'd like to come. We'll find a place for you to pray. You that are helping to pray, call on His name. Call out to Jesus. Oh, let's seek Him this morning. You want to pray? We'll find a place for you to pray. Call on His name. Church can't save you. Preacher can't save you. Jesus can. Jesus can save you. Jesus is the answer. Call on His name. Call on His name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You have the power alone. You lift the lonely ones. Most wonderful name of all names.
Hallelujah. 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 Call on His name.
Darkness flees. It has no hold.
Call on His name.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I don't want to interrupt anyone that's praying. I want you to continue to pray, but we've had two come forward with needs that they want special prayer about. First, Anna just got a text that one of her close friends was just in a car wreck and has been air flighted to the hospital in serious shape. And then Sister Amy has a very special need she wanted a prayer cloth, want us to pray for. These in the altar, you just keep praying, but as many as would gather around, let's pray with Amy. And then Anna's already back there. Anna, why don't you come and stand in for your friend? Hallelujah. We're going to call on His name. We're going to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Gather around. Help us pray. Amen. Some of you ladies, come. Hallelujah. 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 Speak His name. Speak His name.